Wyshneski from The Upside to Aging. And today I'm speaking with Millie Roman of Acts of Faith. Millie is joined us today to talk about her experience caregiving for her mom during COVID. Millie, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Can you start us off by just telling us a little bit about yourself and then a little bit about your mom?
I'm a mom of four. I have three boys. I have a daughter, which is my youngest. I'm married and I take care of my mom.
Thank you. And then a little bit about your mom and maybe her journey with Alzheimer's.
My mom got diagnosed with dementia at a very young age. I would say young. I would think like maybe her late 50s or middle 50s. And then it just progressed into Alzheimer's. And now she's bedridden. That's where we're at right now with it.
Okay. And how did you become her caregiver? How did that come about? Because I believe she was in a nursing home at one point, right?
Yes. My mom had got sick. She was actually living by herself in like a retirement community. And she had got sick. And they were saying, like, you know, the doctors were suggesting that she needed 24-hour care, that she shouldn't live by herself anymore. And so with my mom being mobile and then very, my mom's Puerto Rican, so she's very sassy, very stubborn. So I try to take her with me, to be honest, at that time, but I was dealing with like severe, like, OCD, germaphobe. My son had got sick when he was very young and he was in the hospital. So I had like PTSD from that. So germs in my house were like bad. And my mom did not care what I had going on. Like if I wanted her to wash her hands like over again, she was like, no, I already washed my hands. So that was like a battle. So my other sister was like, I'll take her with me. So she lived with my other sister. And she was just like honestly bouncing back from like house to house. And she had fell. They wanted her to go to rehab. Well, from rehab, she just like never walked. And it turned into staying in the nursing home. And then COVID hit. And it just got bad.
Yeah. And could you tell me a little bit about that? Because I've found you through Instagram and you've shared your story there from that part. At least you've shared videos of you talking to your mom through the window as well. So at that point, it was during COVID. What was the motivator for you to take her out? Was it COVID that this was just?
No, she had went in right before COVID hit. So we were able to go in there. The community was nice. We're like, okay, this is going to be a good fit for my mom. COVID hit, and then I was just nervous to even step out of my house. And I wasn't ready to take her out either. I was pregnant at the time, so all kinds of things were running through my head. But I didn't want her to feel like I left her alone either. So I was determined to go up there like every weekend, do window visits. Whether they were scheduled or not scheduled, I would, you know, bang on the window and somebody would hear me. And then she got really bad, like really, really bad. And I don't think it was so much the Alzheimer's, I think was the isolation, because my mom is a very social person. Like she lives off of that. She's always telling people hi, always trying to help people. Like my mom talks to everybody. Like, I did not like going with her to HEB. She's going to stop and talk to everybody. And so with that, like, it just, I feel like that was killing her faster than anything.
Wow, that had to have been hard to see. And it's something that we're hearing a lot of. So I mean, I totally get that. So how, I'm just in terms of time, How long into COVID did then she move out and into your home?
She stayed at the nursing home for a year and a half total.
And that was all through the pandemic?
All through the pandemic. Like a month before the pandemic, and then she stayed there a year and a half. Wow. So it was constant like lockdowns, and then they would let us in for a little bit. Then, you know, mm-hmm. we would go on lockdown again and we weren't allowed in. And one day me and my sister snuck in there at night. We said that like we're an essential worker. Well, that's what we were gonna say if they asked us, but they just opened the door. So we went in and my mom looked horrible. My mom, her lips were peeling, her face was sunken in. She just, like that image of my mom, I'll never be able to take out of my head. Yeah. And I literally, at that moment, I felt like my mom was going to die. Like, nobody couldn't tell me nothing. Like my mom was gonna die and I refused for her to die alone. So as hard as it may have been, I was like literally bringing her home to die with me so she wouldn't be left alone.
Right. Yeah.
And it turned into, I brought her back to life.
Yeah, you did. Oh my goodness, you did. You can see it in you share images and videos of her, and especially the videos with you and her and your daughter are just absolutely, acts of faith is right. Like I'm getting chills a little bit because I totally understand that. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible. When was this?
In September of last year, my daughter was probably like about 9 months old at the time. And then that was just when I was just like, I have three sisters, it's four of us total. Mm-hmm. And rightfully so, they asked me like a lot of questions mm-hmm. that I honestly did not have like the correct answers to, but I just knew like God was telling me to do it.
Yeah.
And he was going to make a way, and he has. And that's like my whole reason of naming it Acts of Faith, because if people acted more in faith, like the outcome of their life could be amazing. Like, you know, having faith isn't something that is a possibility. It's always like the impossible. You don't know how, you have no answers, you act on it, and it becomes possible through God.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I love that.
And seven just plays a part in all of this.
You're right. Well, she just looks like she's having fun with her grandma.
Their connection is like no other. And I feel like that's, you know, her knowing like my grandma prayed for me.
Right.
My mom wanted me to have a daughter. So the whole family knew. Like when I brought my daughter up there, I haven't posted the video, but when I brought my daughter to my mom in the nursing home to the window, my whole family was there. It was like such an emotional moment because they knew like how meaningful it was to me, to her, right. to show her like, this is the girl that, you know, we would argue about, we prayed about, because I would get, you know, in my feelings, like, I don't have no control over that, mom. Like, you're asking the wrong person.
Right.
So it was like, we did it.
Yeah. With COVID still being around.
And my germophobia, right?
Yeah, and your germophobia with your mom coming home. Mm-hmm. Is it easier to navigate? Or are you still kind of feeling that?
It wasn't even so much like germophobia outside my home. It was inside my home. So people who came inside my home, that's where like it would just, the anxiety through the roof, like thoughts in my head through the roof. And so, you know, with COVID being around and where I'm at right now with my faith and how like God literally like did a whole miracle on me, it doesn't, you know, if we get COVID, if my mom gets COVID, and that's what happens, and that's what, you know, happens. But I didn't bring her home for us to wear masks. Like I brought her home so she knows who we are, so we can enjoy every moment.
Yeah.
The germophobia was more like changing her diaper, and like, you know, sometimes she gets impacted, and like doing wound care, and
yeah,
all of that stuff, people coming in and out my house, like I didn't know how I was gonna deal with that, to be honest.
And have you taken on that role as well? So I know you're her full-time caregiver. Do you have caregivers coming into the home as well?
No. Yeah, so no. I have a nurse that comes and she does her vitals twice a week. And then I have a CNA that will actually like pick her up and take her to the bathroom to give her a shower 3 times a week. Oh, that's but cool. Other than that, it's
all you. Wow. Okay. That's pretty intense.
It is.
Yeah. And that's around the clock.
It is. Mm-hmm. But I do also want to say that I have a son. He's 13 years old, and like God bless me with an amazing child, because I literally wouldn't be able to do it without him. You know, their dad is gone working. So it's like, if I'm with my mom, he has the kids, you know, or vice versa. If, you know, grandma's screaming my name because she's thirsty and I'm feeding 7, like he goes there without a problem, without attitude. Like,
wow,
you know, he's just, this is what it is. And he just knows, like, this is our life right now. You know, we face it, like, how do they say, chin up, chest out? Like, this is just what we got to do. Like, he will, like, sometimes pick her up and, like, scoot her for me or hold her so I could change her diaper, like, because sometimes she's weak and she'll just, like, fall back over. So he'll hold her so I could handle that.
Can we go back a little bit when she was in the nursing home? So, did you, the time that you snuck in, I love that, to go see her.
I literally felt like 007, right. Like, me and my sister, I swear, we should have wore, like, all black or something, scrubs, but night shift was, like, I feel like night shift was probably, like, happy, because, you know, they're not going to be in my mom's room, like, we're going to be in there doing everything, so.
Right. And did you go in because you hadn't seen her? What was the pool to go in? Was it, did you have a inkling that maybe something, like, she wasn't thriving and that's why you wanted, like, what was the motive?
Well, I'm going to backtrack a little bit. When she first went into the nursing home during COVID, she was able to go in a wheelchair. She was wheelchairing herself, like, able to move around. She was calling us nonstop. You know, she would forget. And those are things that, like, I wish I could get back. And anybody, if your parents or grandma is calling you a billion times, enjoy it, because one day you're going to miss it. Yeah. You know, and so my mom would call and call, and I'd be like, yes, mom, I talked to you, because, you know, to her, it was like, I haven't talked to you, you forgot about me, and so we would, you know, go through all of that, and they would change her room, and so, like, I would have access to one window, and then they changed her room, so then that window's gated, like, in a different part of the nursing home, so I couldn't go to that window, and you know, they would let us in, you know, when they would remove the lockdown, we would go in and be able to see her. But then slowly was like, she couldn't answer the phone. You know, she couldn't go to the window. She couldn't sit in a wheelchair anymore. She was already like sliding down. She couldn't hold herself up. Mm-hmm. So they ended up moving her. They moved her, like, I would swear, like 4 or 5 times. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And so the last location she was in, we didn't have access to unless we went inside. So we wanted to visit my mom. Right. So we couldn't go to a window.
Right.
So we had to go in.
Problem solving. Right. Yeah. No. Okay. And this is kind of off cuff, but I'm just kind of curious, because you mentioned her overall appearance, just, she didn't look like she was thriving as well as she had been before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And do you have any inkling why? Was it just the isolation? Was there struggle with were there staffing issues at the place?
I feel like there was. So I feel like the isolation is what, my mom's a fighter.
Right.
My mom is so strong. And she, you know, she fights. She's still fighting now, I feel like. So I feel like the isolation is what was, like, making, I guess, her not want to fight as hard or hold on, you know, and which is like letting her body do its thing. Then plus with the staff, she was having a hard time swallowing. So then it turned into finger foods, and from finger foods and went to like puree foods, and they were supposed to be feeding her, and it looked like literally like dog food. Like, I wouldn't want to eat it. And I don't think that they were taking, you know, time to be able to spoon feed. And I'm not, this time has been a hard time on all nurses, CNA. So I'm not saying anything bad about this. It's just what's happening in our world right now.
Right.
So with the lack of staff members that was able to be, you know, working in the nursing home, then, you know, the patients didn't have their family to be able to help in. It wasn't a good situation for nobody, really.
Yeah. And have you found that her eating has changed?
She's eating oatmeal now. She's eating soft foods. You know, she's moving her hands. She came to me. She wasn't moving her hands.
Right.
Now she's moving her hands. She's moving her legs. She's eating oatmeal. I make sure I feed her, you know, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's such a big difference. I mean, that one-on-one care.
That, and I also feel like the medications. And so that wasn't something I was aware of, on how this whole situation works. So when she went in with like typical, Alzheimer's medicine. I don't know exactly which one it was called. Her blood pressure, cholesterol, stuff like that.
Right.
But she came out with way more medications. There was a point in time where we were also told that she was transitioning. So we had to make phone calls to the family for the family to come, say their goodbyes. And we did all of that here in my house. And something just told me, like, stop the medication. Like, just
really
just stop. And so I stopped, and she came back. And so I really feel like, you know, they're sleepy. They're not, you know, they're just, yeah. They just had her too drugged up.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm sorry, but do you have any background in caregiving? Like, is this all instinct that's coming to you, or? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
I've never inspired to be a nurse, nothing like that. I've just been a mom of, you know, four wonderful kids.
Right.
But caregiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this.
But I always said I was going to take care of my mom, though.
Right.
Since I was young, I just didn't know what that meant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of all, like, it really all is divinely, like.
No, it is. My mom would always tell me a story. My name is Milagro, which means miracle. Mm-hmm. And my mom had me at 42.
Oh.
So she thought she was, like, in menopause, she said. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor told her she was pregnant.
Right.
So her blood was killing me. So they gave her, like, 2 blood transfusions. You know, when I was in her uterus, and she would tell everybody a longer story than what I just told you.
Right.
And so I remember in elementary, I told her, Mom, God gave, you know, me to you at 42 because I'm the one that's supposed to take care of you. But I just never knew what that meant. And so now here we are later. I think about that moment. I'm like, wow.
Right.
I did it.
You did it, and you knew. Like, wow. I mean, everybody kind of wants to know what their purpose is. It's incredible to know that you've, I mean, not to say that this is your only purpose, but like.
No, I feel like exactly, you know, there's many purposes, but I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be at right now. So even though it gets hard, like it gets, my 5-year-old has autism.
Mm-hmm.
So dealing with his autism and my mom's Alzheimer's isn't a good mix. So something that she doesn't understand, you know, why he just screams and he gets, you know, excited, right. Or why he's playing the same cartoon over and over again. So then she's yelling, he's unbothered by it, thank God, you know. So, you know, dealing with that, you know, and the rest of everything, having a 1-year-old is, you know, a lot of work within itself. I still feel like I'm living my best life, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So even though it's hard with kid number 1, kid number 2, kid number 3, 4, you know, and everything else, it's still like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is my purpose. Like,
wow. That's,
I feel more me-like than I have in a long time. So people are feeling like I'm somebody so great to my mom. That's just what I want people to understand. Like, my mom did more for me right now than I'm doing for her than anybody will ever truly know.
Right.
So God could have so, like, God made me literally, like, put me in the war zone and said, you have no choice. You're going to face your fear.
Right.
Like, I was at a point where I was scared to touch my mom in the nursing home. Like, that's my mom. That's my best friend.
Yeah.
But just, I didn't know if they bathed or I didn't know, you know, just everything. Like, it was just so, it was a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be here right now, it's just like, it's amazing.
Yeah. How much you've grown. I mean, that's incredible. And to be able to market too. I mean, that I is another thing that I think a lot of people wish that they had, that they could see their growth. I love that you're documenting this for yourself, but I mean, for others to see as well, because I think your story and your experience, while unique to you, can be a great motivator for somebody else who is not taking that step and who's not sure, you know, in caregiving or not. I mean, this could be applied to a number of different situations. And, but since we are talking about caregiving, there's such a need, and taking on family caregiving has a lot of unknowns in itself. And then you add dementia and Alzheimer's on top of it, that is such a misunderstood, Alzheimer's disease, dementia, the symptoms, they're so misunderstood. And it's very easy to, like, to not want to know or not want to, like, engage or not to dig in more. And I think that your story is very empowering. I hear it for yourself, but I hope that others find it as well, because it's a growing need, and a lot of people are finding them, and a lot of young people are finding it, you know. It's like, dementia is thought to be like, oh, you're like older.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. It can happen at a very young age. As you said, your mom was in her 50s. That's mm-hmm. so young, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
she had just had you. Like, how is that possible, right? Yeah. So
her dad had Alzheimer's as well. She took care of him.
Did she? Oh, wow. So she knows. I mean, she definitely knows what you're doing, and that, you know, well, obviously if she's thriving now, she feels at home. And all right, let me see. You got me off. So when you brought her home, and since you've been home, do you find that you have access to the resources that you need? So I know you have a nurse coming in and that caretaker coming in. Are there resources that you would, and this could be anything from caregiver resources, like respite, having some time to yourself, or is that just, that's not a thing, right? Because like, mom of four too, so I mean, you're wearing multiple hats.
There's no such thing, yeah.
Right. Okay.
If anything, my mom's probably the easiest, you know, it's just another, like, gotta feed her, you know, stuff like that, but
right.
Not every day is a bad day with her. So, you know, randomly she'll sundown or randomly she'll want me at 1 a.m, but it's not.
It's not.
True. Yeah. If they have respite care for my kids, like, let's do that.
Right. Right. I hear you. I hear you there. And then do you think that the pandemic has caused, well, this is such a, I think you've answered this question, but I'm going to ask it. Do you think that the pandemic has caused long-term effects on you and your caregiving? No, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I think that you've answered that. So that's good.
In this pandemic, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned so much. I don't want to jinx her. I don't even have no real wood around here.
I do.
Okay. There we go. She wasn't as careful as I was. Mm-hmm. I was like, I pulled my kids out of therapy, out of school for a whole year. I did not let anybody come inside my house. They would, you know, get together. And I'm like, no, not over here. I'm pregnant. Yeah. And she has not gotten COVID. And I have. And so it's like, what is meant, you know, like, I'm not saying don't be careful. By all means, do every precaution.
Yeah.
But don't live in so much fear. You know, so if anything, it's made me realize so much more. You know, I could control certain things, but I can't control everything.
Right. That's important. Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I really enjoy talking to you. I love your story. It's not just your story, your life. You're living it, right? But I really appreciate you sharing. I'll, of course, put your information down anywhere that I'm posting this. Your information will be Acts of Faith, on Instagram. And we'll put that in the description for people to follow on your journey as well.
Thank you.
Girl, you're beautiful. I get my look from you.